Most, you know, data related or related people, engineering related people, they just focus on the last part. So on statistical, not just, you know, how data is collected, etc. And other people, you know, just kind of product managers, whoever it can be, they just focus on political things, not even, you know, on, defining clear goals, clear hypothesis, but on political purpose. And just to find a balance between it, it's really a challenge, and it's where, you know, the biggest problem lies.
Hey, Experiment Nation, it is Tracy. You maybe recognize me from the audio-only version of the podcast. This is, I think, my first video podcast, and I'm so excited to have today's guests on. So, today we have Mark Eltafon, who is a senior data scientist and also an experimentation evangelist. And Mark, I've looked through your experiences, and you've been an experimenter at TikTok in the past?
Yeah, that's right.
I love it. Our guests are going to definitely have a lot of thoughts and questions and curiosity about this. And I definitely want to get into that. But thank you so much for joining. It's going to be a real treat. And my first question for you really is, how did you fall into experimentation as a data scientist?
I think it's worth it to discuss how I fell into a data science field. So firstly, so when I graduated from the university, so I'm originally from Russia. So I attended one of the most famous technical universities in Russia. And when I just graduated from it, I didn't know what to do. I mean, data science and machine learning wasn't, you know, on the same level of hype as it's right now. And I started my career as, I would say, a software developer, and many people think now just imagine something like C++, some complex logic, etc. But it was mostly about Excel, VBA, and all of it. So I just started my career from Excel, and I really believe that it's, you know, a great tool. Maybe not now, but it used to be, no doubt. And then I came across AndrewNG, so I believe most of people knows and know him. So it's he's the founder of Coursera, professor from Stanford, and many other titles. And I fell in love with his Stanford lectures, and I just started to digest, and I realized that, yeah. So it's my passion. I want really to go further, to find a job, to apply the skills to some practice and to see what's happening there. And after, so my revelation with AndrewNG, after a year, I found my first job in a bank, some kind of random bank. I realized, yeah, so there are many models, many applications, etc. But how are we going to test it? And that was the time when I found out about A/B testing, experimentation. For the last, I don't know, maybe 5, 6 years, so I'm in this field. So I'm, I would say I'm not focused only on experimentation and A/B testing field, but it's definitely one of my core responsibilities. So yeah, nice. That's how I ended up with experimentation.
Nice. It's funny how Excel was your gateway drug to experimentation. You just try one thing once and you don't realize what other skill sets and avenues it opens up. So it's really funny how that kind of led you to where you are now.
Yeah, I didn't know about Python, about some machine learning applications. Because I was, I studied just, as far as I remember, basic language. So I don't remember, to be honest. So, but it's not applicable for some kind of experimentation and data science project. But yeah, just by using my curiosity as an advantage, yeah, so I found out about experimentation, machine learning, and yeah, that's how I started my career.
I love it. So obviously today you are at Gelato. So what does Gelato do in terms of product management and experimentation?
Yeah, so just briefly about what is gelato. Yeah, because everyone, when they just hear gelato, so it's something about ice cream,
Yeah, it
yeah,
makes
or
me
at least some
hungry.
dessert. Yeah, that's true. But no. I would say it's e-commerce company, and so the industry is POD. POD, it's print on demand.
Oh, yes.
So whenever you want to order, for example, a mug with your face, and if you want especially to be produced this locally, so this is your way to do it. So you if it's B2C, so business to clients, so you have to type in optimalprint.com. So it's not an ad, it's just about the company. So and just order mug, just put your face on it, and that's it. So it's
Nice.
really a great one. So about experimentation, so our data team is, I would say, relatively small, and we're just in our infancy regarding experimentation, data-driven approach, and now we're just building it. So I'm really fascinated with the speed, the velocity, how we just approach, building this just from the ground up. Yeah, and it's really cool. So we've already, run quite a dozens of A/B tests. We also apply different causal inference methods because sometimes, so we have B2B business and B2C business, and sometimes B2B, in terms of clients, just numbers of companies of clients, it's relatively small, so you can't just apply, just common A/B testing methodology and approaches. So yeah, we're just trying to build it, and yeah, I believe we are kind of successful. So we'll see, for example, at the end of the year, what we're gonna achieve.
Nice. Well, you said that you have quite a small team. So I do absolutely want to press a little bit more about that. I know you're very interested in talking about experimentation culture. I know people love to talk about experimentation culture, but for anyone who's new to the space, it sounds very abstract. And when you're starting to build that experimentation culture yourself, it's a big undertaking. So, my big, I guess, kind of questions for you are, what did experimentation culture look like when you were at TikTok as a data scientist? And how does that differ from what experimentation culture looks like today at Gelato?
Yeah, sure. So about maybe briefly about TikTok. So what I knew about TikTok when I just joined, so I even hadn't used the app before my job
Oh,
interview.
wow.
Yeah, because of my perception that it's just, for children. And yeah, later I realized no, so it's for everyone, and everyone, can find something useful there, and it's really true. So I genuinely speak, not because I'm a former employee.
And you learned how to do
So
like really awesome dances, like flossing, obviously.
at least so when I joined TikTok, I was truly excited to see what was the experimentation culture there, because it was really a data-driven culture where data, it was at the center of the whole decisions. Because many people, many companies just brag about, so yeah, we use data-driven decisions. How? I don't know. So we just use it, and that's it. So it's like abstract, but in TikTok I really found it. Yeah. So we couldn't implement some kind of new feature, even minor one, without some data, without experimentation. You know, it was really cool. Also, it's really great when every member, not only of the data team, but I mean of the company, can propose the idea and it can be tested. So it's, you know, I would say an ideal, in I would say perfect experimentation culture when not only you or your team, who's responsible just for one part of TikTok or of another product, can test something, but everyone. I mean, it's really great.
Mm-hmm.
I would say eventually we can end up when, you know, users can propose something and it can be somehow automatically tested. And yeah, maybe it's, you know, it will never happen, but I think it's, you know, kind of crazy, but, you know, worse idea.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that there are ways that you can incorporate customer feedback that's submitted through the TikTok app and then kind of use that to inform testing pipelines or product strategy. Yeah, I'd be really interested to kind of see that used in more product functions.
This is Romo Santiago from Experiment Nation. Every week we share interviews with and conference sessions by our favorite conversion rate optimizers from around the world. So if you like this video, smash that like button and consider subscribing. It helps us a bunch. Now back to the episode.
As it relates to Gelato, what does that look like? I'm sure it would be totally different than experimenting at TikTok.
Yeah, sure. Because first of all, because of the magnitude. Yes, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many people use TikTok. I don't know, billions, I would say.
So many.
So now we are not, you know, at this level in Gelato, maybe mm-hmm. in some future, but not now. The infrastructure of the whole data sets, of the whole pipelines, it's a bit different from TikTok. Also because we are in our infancy, so we have to test what should be better, what can work, what can't work. First thing and foremost, I would say to really, you know, build a strong experimentation culture, it should be, you know, a shared understanding of the importance of data-driven decision making. So many people, you know, just belittle this or just downplay because, I mean, it's obvious. But no, I mean, it's not obvious for everybody. I mean, for data-related people, yeah, sure, because your profession is, you know, just mingle with data and just tackle it and query, etc. But for, I don't know, designers, product managers, stakeholders, it's not as obvious. So why we can't just, you know, implement this feature to the whole population, and that's it. So mm-hmm. because we are, you know, truly believe in it. So it's mm-hmm. gonna earn us billions of dollars, pounds. Mm-hmm. But no, we should use. So, and that's why we should, as you know, data related people or just, you know, experimentation people, educate other, you know, members. And that's where we right now, you know, started our first steps. And, you know, I hope go further from it.
Mm-hmm. So two themes that I kind of picked up from what you've said here is that you want to make sure that people understand what data-driven decision-making even is, and also democratization, that you want to make sure that people, like everyone feels involved and like they're a part of the process. One thing that I've kind of always wondered about is it ever too early to democratize your experimentation program and start getting people in? Are there too many cooks in the kitchen early, or is it actually great to have people right from the start from other functions coming in and starting to experiment? What do you think about that?
I believe that it's easier to incorporate other people's feedback, at least for the beginning, not, you know, the ideas, the hypothesis, etc., but at least feedback from the beginning. because when your system is going to be more and more complex, so it's going to be harder to implement a new feature or to make your experimentation democracy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot harder. But so this 2 points about democratization and this data-driven approach, obviously, not the only one that mm-hmm. we should have to build. We also need to, I would say, focus on experimentation quality.
Yeah.
So by this, I mean, I would break down it into three parts. So first of all, it's about infrastructure. So without accurate data, we can't, come to some mm-hmm. conclusions. So we can, but they're going to be wrong. So mm-hmm. that's definitely not what we're looking for. Also, business quality. So it's about having a clear hypothesis, choosing the right metrics, what we can expect from this new feature or whatever. Because especially at the beginning, when you're just building something, many people just come to you, I want to build this.
Mm-hmm.
You just ask them, what are going to be the benefit of it?
Yeah.
So I don't know, just I believe it's going to be really, impactful. So yeah, shouldn't be, your approach and pipeline. The second one, it's about experimentation quality. So experimentation quality, it's ensuring statistical methods, avoiding some biases, implementing some health checks, etc., etc. So it's mostly about statistics, math, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if even one of those things is off, then it kind of negates the whole point of experimenting. If your data is not right, it's all a waste of time, really, isn't it? And
yeah.
If the quality of ideas are low, then you're probably not going to see much impact. And then if it's not statistically, if there's no statistical rigor, then you're just implementing what could be just false, completely false. So
yeah, I would say they are equally important.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally with you on that. I think when we think about experimentation culture, it's maybe easy to start thinking about all of the political aspects of it, but then maybe disregard the functional aspects of the program, or maybe even on the other side. I've struggled with the political side when I was maybe too focused on the functional side. Do you kind of have one particular aspect of your experimentation programs where you find things are more at risk of falling apart, or where you see the barriers are more common?
I would say it's really hard to find a balance, and it's mm-hmm. a challenge. Most, data-related or related people, engineering-related people, they just focus on the last part, so on statistical,
mm-hmm.
not just, how data is collected, etc. And other people, just product managers, whoever it can be, they just focus on political things.
Yeah.
Not even, on, defining clear goals, clear hypothesis, but mm-hmm. on political purpose. And just to find a balance between mm-hmm. it, it's really a challenge, and it's where, the biggest problem lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very lucrative just to fall apart into some of this, but you have to, to keep calm and yeah. just to stay focused and keep, balance, even just in the life, it's really paramount from my perspective.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good word to actually put it, is balance. There really are so many different moving pieces of an experimentation program. There is so much of the people aspect to it, and there's so much of the like machine aspect to it. What would you tell someone who's maybe trying to start up their first experimentation program and struggling to balance it all?
So my advice is going to be just test it. The first step is really important. And if it's your first, you shouldn't care about, you know, keep balancing. You just should start moving. Then you just shouldn't forget about it. You know, when your car keeps moving, just, you know, don't forget about some rules, some, you know, speed limits and other, you know, possible barriers for your movement to a goal. I would say just test it, and then don't forget that negative outcome from the experiment is as much, you know, worse as positive outcome. Yeah. Maybe even more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, negative outcomes are still learnings. They're still lessons, and that's how you succeed, is you have to do it wrong a few times, maybe many times, until you finally get it right. So yeah, that's what you just said right there is very relevant to just experimenters in general, which is just, you have to be okay to get it wrong the first few times, and that's okay. So
yeah, and you can apply this rule to every facet of your life. So just don't be afraid to make wrong, to, you know, to get some results wrong. So the most important thing is to get something from it. So if you're just doing wrong infinitely and not learning, it's not the best path. So you just should learn, and then it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's a really good message to impart onto like anyone who's doing experimentation, not even just the beginners. I think that's a really good message. Now, obviously, there's a balance at play here, but you also, I'm sure, want to throw speed and velocity into that mix once you've kind of gotten your footing, once you're able to get going and you've started with a few experiments. How do you make sure that you're accelerating your experimentation program while also balancing things like statistical rigor and generally bringing results and making people happy and like they're contributing towards something?
I would say there are two main approaches to this. So the first one, it's about how you set up your A/B test. So it should be quite straightforward way. So there shouldn't be some vague gaps in it. So it shouldn't be start with, I want this feature, I don't know what should be tracked, how much money we can generate with it, and where we want to launch it. Yeah, so you should, you know, just step by step design it. And most bogus ideas just won't go further with this approach. And maybe they even can be refined. Yeah, so if you're going to ask, I know, any guy who comes to you with an idea, so what we're going to achieve, and at the beginning, so they don't know, but then with a discussion, with some brainstorming, we can get to it. And that's really great. The second part, it's mostly about math stuff. So, and this math one, I would also break down by a few things. So the first one, it's about metrics. Yeah, so choosing the right metric, it's really important, but not all the time. So, for example, you have, I don't know, some average revenue per user, but it's, you know, very stable, and it's very hard to capture some differences. So it's better to find some proxy metrics. And for a vast majority of time, it's not a problem to find it. And that's, I would say, the best method in this, you know, mass approaches, because it's really obvious. You can find it. So you don't take into account some complex math methods, but it really can give you an impact, a huge impact. So other math methods, it's mostly about variance. So if we remember the formula for sample size for A/B testing, so one of criteria is variance. So how we can reduce variance through a few methods like Qubit, like certification, stuff like that. So you can use, you know, whatever you'd like. Also, especially recently, sequential analysis, sequential methods are quite popular, and it can help you to avoid and to solve the picking problem. So the picking problem is when you, so when you don't keep yourself calm and always take a look at the results of your experiments today in an hour, tomorrow, etc. And whenever you know you see the results that that you was expected to, so when you that you had expected to see, so we can finish it, but no. So the sequential methods can help with this problem, and they also, you know, quite powerful. I came across some articles that tell us that it can help us to reduce 30% of the time duration of, I mean, in average for sure, of the experiment. So you also may Google it and use it. But I would, especially at the beginning, I would focus on the first part. So about just educate all people about data-driven approach, infrastructure, just making sure that everything is correct. And then you will have, you know, time to accelerate your experiment. So don't panic. You will have this time. Don't worry.
It's really funny that you were kind of the, you mentioned that sequential testing can actually be better in some situations and faster. I've always been afraid of sequential testing, to be honest. Should sequential testing be left to more experienced experimenters, or is it possible to do it correctly without having to do all this crazy statistical education?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I wouldn't tackle this approach without really understanding what's behind it. Because bad design can give you, you know, a lot of problems. Yeah, and so it's not worth to, you know, to hazard, I guess, and to try to implement it just to save 20-30% of duration time, if it can just be really malevolent, and, you know, just break down your system, your even culture, so your experimentation approach. So I would say it should be, you know, at the end, or if you have some resources, so you can find people who are, you know, really know about this method, so they can educate you, and then you can just apply the experience to your company and to your goals. But just alone in the dark, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah. So don't try this at home, is what we're saying for sequential testing. Okay, great. No, that's really good to know. I've always wondered kind of if it's possible for me to just kind of get sequential testing right in one day, not really knowing how to do it the day prior, just knowing that there are other methods out there and that experimentation is not just A/B testing is something that I think like very junior experimenters don't quite know as well.
Yeah, and there are many other approaches. So there are many examples where you just can't apply A/B tests, where you just can't split, you know. So for example, when something has been already implemented.
Yes.
So how are you gonna, you know, how are you gonna split it? So no, there is no way to do this. And there are many causal inference methods that can help you to find the impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or for example, where you can't, you know, split it. For example, you were asked to measure the impact from Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on, I don't know, ice cream sales, for example.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, just create two universes,
yeah,
where in one universe there is going to be Eurovision and another no. So you have to be, I would say, so you have to dive into some other aspects. They are not dark, so don't be afraid. Also quite, you know, interesting. Sometimes complex, but yeah, so just, you know, Google causal inference methods and just, you know, start your adventure there.
I love it. I'll also add, there is a very awesome deck of cards out there. If you could just Google it, like experimentation flashcards, it's a deck of cards that shows you all these different types of experiments. There's like maybe 50 of them, maybe more. I don't remember, but there's like the fake door experiment. There's so many just other ways that you can test a big idea without having to depend on the same two or three methods that everybody uses. You can be really creative about it. And maybe that's part of experimentation culture too, is letting people know that there is no one way to test this, but there are ways that we can't test certain things. And how do we go from there? So,
you shouldn't be, you know, strict about your approaches. Yeah, as you said, you should be creative. So there is no one right solution.
I love it.
So, and you should test it.
Absolutely.
So, and don't afraid to, you know, for example, to reach out to people, for example, on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just to ask something. I also do this. Yeah.
Well, that's actually a great segue, because I wanted to have our listeners know how they can reach you and kind of stay on top of anything that you're putting out into the world right now. What's the best way to reach you?
So over LinkedIn. I would say I also have a blog on Medium.
Nice.
It's mostly about experimentation. So, yeah, and I also reply to every comment there.
Oh, nice.
If there are any. I would say that these are two main bridges to me. So LinkedIn and Medium. So. I'm going to create the third one. So now I'm in the middle of creating a course about how to build a B testing system from the ground up. Because about a year ago, I was trying to find out some really great courses about some advanced A B testing and experimentation practice and how just to, you know, build something from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was impossible. I mean, there are many articles, many videos, you know, many just posts, but it's really difficult just to gather it all together and create, mm-hmm. you know, some kind of structure to apply some kind of structure to it. So that's what I'm going to do for
awesome.
Everyone. Yeah.
Awesome. And it's also normally very expensive to get that kind of training. So I am definitely... I love when there's kind of like new people in the space coming out and making content that's going to be a bit more accessible for everyone else. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's not going to be worth 1,000. Yeah, perfect. It's going to be accessible.
Well, we're going to drop the links to your blog and your LinkedIn in the show notes so our listeners can follow you and catch up with everything that you're kind of putting out there. Lastly, is there anyone else that comes to mind that we should interview next?
So if you have power, I would recommend Andrew Ng.
Okay.
So if not, if it's not the option, so I would recommend somebody from Microsoft Experimentation Platform,
mm-hmm.
Because they really publish a lot of useful posts and they are really great at building it. For example, yesterday I just ran into the guy Alexander Fabian,
mm-hmm.
from Experimentation Platform team. So, yeah, I believe he's the right guy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate your wisdom on this episode. And thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners for catching us on this video episode. I don't know why it's such a big deal to me. I've just never done it before. So I keep bringing it up. But thank you so much, Mark. Thank you to whoever's listening.
Thank you.
Awesome. Catch you later.